pray for me, Brother Terry. Ask you to keep me in your prayers tonight. I feel a good kind of tired. It's a blessing to be able to meet as we have today and worship with the Lord's people and feel a good fellowship among the churches, among the brethren, visit with the sister churches. But physically I can feel that I've been somewhere and done some things. Not that that's been very much, but I can feel that tonight. Pray the Lord will just bless us. Bless me with my vocals. I've been having a little bit of trouble with those. I don't know whether it's the weather or just using them more or whatever it is. But you'd pray that the Lord would supply what I need physically. As well, that He, more importantly, that He would bless me spiritually. So that the things we share tonight would be truly what He would give us. And that we would come not trusting in ourselves, but leaning on the Lord and His blessing. And the same Lord that has to bless me to preach has to bless you to be able to hear and give you that hunger and that thirst, as well as that ear to hear and an eye to see and a heart to understand. The wonderful thing about our God is He's more than capable to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think in regard to supplying what we need tonight to really worship Him in spirit and in truth. I do believe that this little meeting house and the gathering that we have in it tonight is very, very important. Of all the places we could be, I know you've heard me say this before, but I certainly believe it and know it to be the truth from the Word of God. This gathering, as well as every gathering you have where God's people are meeting to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, where His church has met or a church meets, there's no more important thing going on in any neighborhood at any time than that. Ye are the salt of the earth. The Bible teaches that. Ye are the light of the world. We know that without the Lord, we're nothing and can do nothing. But in the Lord and by the Lord, we act as a preservative and we act as a flavor to the world in which we live in, to where we shine as we carry out that which the Lord has given us to do. We shine as lights to others of God's little children in this cold and dark world. And it's very, very important, according to the Word of God, that we're faithful, that we continue and act on faithfully until the Lord comes. And we look for Him to come. And we know that time is closer. As one of the brethren said, it's surely closer than it's ever been before. Don't know when He's coming, but we know He is coming. And it sure appears that time is certainly at hand. And if it isn't, we still should live as if it is every single day, because our Lord is returning. My mind tonight is on a passage of Scripture found in the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew, and if you'd like to turn there, certainly encourage you to do that. The subject matter that's contained in this passage, we have the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did when He saw a great congregation of people, a great group of people, and He looked at them and their condition, and then prayed and told us, or actually told us, how we ought to be praying. And it's a great and wonderful lesson, if the Lord would bless us to look at it for just a little while. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, we read the following. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He to His disciples, that a harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Jesus, when He walked here on the shores of time, was the first to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivered that same gospel unto his apostles. They were blessed to pin these things down. And we are declaring this wonderful truth tonight to God's little children because he has given it to us. He was the one God who spake in times past under the prophets, under the fathers, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And it's wonderful tonight to be able to talk about the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and know from whom we have received it. We're told not to neglect so great a salvation. And it's important that you and I don't neglect the wonderful gospel. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we would have been able in that day and time to go over to a synagogue where Jesus was teaching and listen to the words of the most wonderful preacher that ever walked the face of the earth. Because there was no preacher like Jesus. There was no man that spake like this man. There was no one who ever lived that was perfect in every word that he spoke and everything that he said and everything he didn't say. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man, but he was not just any man, he was a perfect man without any sin, without any blemish, and that means he's a perfect preacher, a perfect teacher. And he taught in their synagogues. He wasn't hiding away. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed to declare the truth. But he went under the direction and leadership of his Father as he who was verily God submitted himself and went in complete obedience unto the Father. And he went teaching in their synagogues. And he went preaching, it says, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Tonight, we're here to preach and talk about that same gospel. We're to talk about the gospel of the kingdom. We're talking about the good news. And there is good news for us in this world. Don't you need some good news? I surely do need some good news. And I'll tell you, God's little children in this world, many of them who have no clue of what the true gospel declares, many of them who have a hunger and thirst after righteousness and going about their own way, having a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, going about their own way, trying to establish their own righteousness. Many of them tied up, so to speak, in the highways and the hedges of this world. And they're out there and they're hungry and they're faint and they're poor. And we know them as God's little children because we see the evidence of the working of God's grace in their life. I'm glad that the Lord doesn't just work with old Baptists. Now, I'm thankful he works with old Baptists, but I believe the Lord has a people. I'm glad that the Lord doesn't just work in America. I'm glad that the Lord has a people in every nation, in every kindred, in every tongue, and every people, that they are his chosen people. And when it comes time to save them eternally, he isn't waiting to do that. He's already done that when he finished that work at Calvary. Every one of his children are safe and secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for them. He delivered them. Somebody might ask somebody, when were you saved? And they might say, well, I got saved when I walked down an aisle and shook a preacher's hand. Or I got saved when I heard this gospel and I believed it. And I got saved when this happened and that happened. And it may be true there is salvation in those things, not eternal deliverance. But if you want to know when someone was eternally saved, eternally made secure, eternally washed, eternally justified, it was when Jesus died at Calvary and paid the sin debt and offered himself once to God a perfect sacrifice for the sin of his people. You know why he offered it once? Because he didn't need to offer it after that one time, because his one offering was a sufficiency was there in the finished work of the effectual work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the sin debt and he removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And that's a reality for every one of God's children. And he knows who they are. The Lord is not going to be surprised about who comes home to glory or who are his. The foundation of God, the Apostle Paul writes, the foundation of God standeth sure, and it has this seal, and the seal is, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And tonight you and I are settled on that. That gives me a great deal of peace tonight to know that God will have all of His children with Him. Everyone that the Father gave the Son, all of them will come to the Son in regeneration, come to Him and being born again, born from above, not of their own will, not of their own voluntary work, not of their own doings, not of works, lest any man should boast, but God works in them and brings them out of a state of death, a state of in trespasses and in sins, and He makes them new creatures in Christ Jesus, and they're born of His Spirit. But I'm telling you, God's little children that are born of His Spirit, they need guidance. They need direction. They need light. They need encouragement. They need instruction. They need to know about what the Lord has done. Knowing about what the Lord has done doesn't make it so, but it makes it so in the sense they understand it, are unable to embrace it and believe it, and it tells them how they are secure in the finished blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how also they have been given everything already by the grace of God that they'll ever need. Isn't it important to know tonight that you already have been given all that you'll need, and whatever's coming in this world, you have within you, given to you by Almighty God, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that means we have in Jesus everything that we need. That's wonderful for us to know that tonight. And I believe it has helped us, hasn't it? It's kind of nailed our lives together. Hasn't it strengthened your home? Hasn't it helped you in your own individual life? It certainly has made life worth living as far as this old dark world when it seems like everything is just going the wrong way in the wrong direction, to know that even if it was all like that the rest of my life, when I died, heaven would be secure because of what Jesus has done for me, not what I did for the Lord. You see, there are so many of God's little children. I've been there. Some of you have been there where your trust was in part to some degree or maybe altogether in what you had done or what you were doing, or maybe you were just trying to get it done and trying to get there, but you never felt a contentment and you never felt any peace, and you were like a little sheep without a shepherd. And you're running to and fro as these were that Jesus saw. Now, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Tonight, as I stand before you, I see you on the outside, and I do know y'all pretty well. I mean, this is not our first rodeo, so to speak, in the sense we've been with one another, we've talked with one another. Sometimes I feel like we might know one another a little too well, but I don't think that's possible in the Lord's church. But we know one another pretty well, and I do know about some of your circumstances. But I don't know everything you think, and you're probably glad I don't. And you don't know everything I think, and I am very glad you don't. But I want you to know tonight, the one with whom we have to do knows all about us, knows everything we're thinking, everything we need, every thing you're going to face, knows what you're going through right now, knows what's coming this week, knows what you're going to face down the road, knows what's ahead of you in your life. We don't know a thing about what really is coming. We can have some ideas, and reasonably well, we kind of work things out naturally. Well, this is what I think I'm going to do, and probably some of you have planned well enough. Some of us maybe not, but some of you kind of got Monday already planned. I imagine my wife already has Monday planned and Tuesday plans, and she usually asks me, what's my plans? And I go like, don't have any plans. And it's not because I oughtn't to have some plans, it's just kind of like the way I am, and you know, that's, I shirk some responsibility there. But what I'm saying to you, we have all those plans, but how quickly can one thing just change everything? All you think about, all that's important. It's a great comfort to me tonight to know that our lives are not just in the control of this, of the flow of this world, or the things, or the circumstances, or something called destiny or fate. But there's an Almighty God sitting on the throne who's in control, who has every one of us, not only has our names written in the palm of His hands, but we are engraved in the palm of His hands. And that's the one who owns the heavens and the earth, and who's created all that therein is, who gives us every day, who gives you every moment, gives you every heartbeat, gives you every breath in your nostrils, gives you your companion, gives you your strength in this world. He's the one that we're looking to tonight. And this is the one who went teaching in their synagogues. And when I get back to that thought, when he taught in their synagogues, he knew exactly what to say. I'll tell you, as a minister, sometimes one of my biggest concerns is, Lord, where would you have me go in the Word? And what would you have me to say? Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. A minister who supposes, because he knows his congregation and thinks that he knows what their need, is going to hurt his congregation if he goes on that route rather than trusting in the Lord and leaning not on his own understanding. In other words, we come before you. I've got to trust in the one who taught all of this. Wouldn't y'all rather me trust in the one who's teaching these than the one who's standing before you tonight? Wouldn't you rather me do that? Because you see, I don't know what you need as well as I know you. I don't know what you need. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what every wife here needs for their husband. He knows what every husband needs for their wife. He knows what every one of us need in our lives. He knows who you are and what you're going to face. And as he taught them in these synagogues, you're talking about one who never missed a mark. He never fell short of saying exactly what is needed. And you know when a minister won't fall short of saying what's needed? Is when he stops trusting in himself and trusts in the Lord and leaves it there. Even if he's stone cold and silent, if he's trusting in the Lord, it's going to be okay. Y'all believe that, don't you? Old Baptists believe that. I hope you believe that. We believe that if the minister comes and he's not able to preach and not able to talk, then there's a purpose and a reason in that. Now, it could be something that a chastisement for him. It may be a chastisement for the congregation. It may be just to wake us up and let us know that without the Lord, we don't have anything. And I'm telling you, if you know that, you're a wise person. And if you don't know that, you don't know anything as good as you ought to know it. You see, one of the things we ought to know about this is this little church won't make it without the Lord. That you and I as members of this church won't be what we're supposed to be without the Lord. That I as a pastor will not be the pastor I need to be without the Lord. And every member of this church needs the Lord to walk in the gift and the calling that He's given you. But I'm telling you, He's given you a gift and a calling. And when you sow that which He's given you, it'll reap bountifully to the good of the Lord's people and to the glory and the honor of God. And it's pleasing to the Lord when His little sheep bring forth fruit. This ain't anywhere where I thought I was going, but that's good. I'm just glad I have something. Thank you, Lord. And he says in the teaching in the synagogues and preaching, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. God's little children need to know the gospel. You and I need to know the gospel. You and I need to eat on the gospel. We need to feed on the gospel. We need to wrap ourselves up in the gospel. We need the gospel bounded around your neck, and we need to keep it in the forefront of our lives. We need to remember eternally we belong to the Lord. And so that our walk and our talk is a reflection of who we are as God's little children. We need to understand and remember where all the good things that we have come from, so we don't end up worshiping some of those good things, but we remember to worship the giver of those good things, that we give the Lord the honor and the glory. We need to remember that naturally, spiritually, emotionally, any other aspect of our life, He has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our everything, and anything I've had in my life that's worthwhile has come from Him. And so He is to be served and no one else. We're to honor Him, we're to glory, and we're to be thankful for one another. Be thankful for what God's given you. You got a good wife, you be thankful God gave you a good wife. Don't worship her, because she'll let you down. Be thankful God's given you a good husband. Don't worship him, because he'll let you down. But if you look to the Lord will bless your husband, and the Lord will bless the wife, the Lord will bless this church. If the Lord will bless us to be what we're supposed to be as a member. You ever worry about what kind of member you are in the Lord's church? I'll tell you, if you feel to be the least, you're really valuable and important. If you feel to be the best, well, you're probably a hindrance. You say, well, boy, that's kind of hard. That's the truth. That's what Jesus taught. He that is least among you is what? the greatest. But he that is the greatest, or feels to be the greatest among you, the least shall, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The way, as Brother Bennett used to preach so ably, he says the way up in God's kingdom is down, and the way down is up. And that's true. When we get down on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm nothing. As a minister, I'm nothing without Thee. So bless me to be the minister that can help and benefit the Lord's people. Because there are a lot of little sheep, listen, a lot of little sheep that are wandering here in this world as sheep who have no shepherd. And if Jesus had compassion on them, and we're followers of Jesus, doesn't that mean we should have compassion on them? Should we not care about them? Should they not be a concern to us? Should those of God's little sheep that come visiting, or those of God's little sheep that we miss along, meet along the way, is it not important for us to act in such a way and manner that we might be of some benefit to them, because they do need guidance and they do need direction? I ask you, do you need guidance and direction? I do. I need to know His gospel. I need to hear it. I need to remember where my help comes from. I need to remember who I am and remember who He is, so I can praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him. And not just when we meet here on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, but I can remember that day in and day out in my life. And He said this. He said, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And I'm telling you today, it's even true. Every sickness and every disease that truly gets healed, it's the Lord who does the healing. You may go to the doctors to get the information. They may apply what they know. But if the Lord doesn't heal our bodies, we won't be healed. If the Lord doesn't heal our souls, we won't be healed. If the Lord doesn't heal our wounds, we won't be healed. The healing comes from the Lord. He is the one who is the healer. He has healed all our diseases. He's the one who is our help and our strength. And here in this case, He just proved that He was truly the Messiah, because it wasn't a case too hard. You know, some of the cases in this world are just too hard for men. Isn't that true? As a matter of fact, everything, all of it's too hard for us. But not so with God. For with God, all things are possible. We prayed for some cases that seemed impossible, and we've seen God move, have we not? And we prayed also for things we wanted, but God saw fit to go another way. You know, we still saw God move, because God took what we thought and said, no, that's not my way, that's not what's best, and saw it in His way, and even brought about a greater thing. For a little child of grace, getting healed in this side of the, on this side, is a great, great blessing. But I'm telling you, if God sees fit to heal them in another way by taking them out of this old troubled world, that healing is far greater than any natural healing that you'll ever have in this world. Now, does that cause hearts to break and people to mourn? Absolutely. But He heals those things too. He allows us and gives us the strength. And that's where that healing comes from. Blessed are they that mourn. That doesn't mean mourning in the sense of just of the loss of a loved one. But it does mean in the sense when you're mourning and looking to the Lord. For they shall be comforted. And He's the God of all comfort. And that's why we pray for those who've lost loved ones, that God would comfort their hearts. And we've seen that. I talked to a little sister, Arista, Brother Franklin Arista, little sister Ann, this week, and she said, you know, I still miss Franklin so much. She said, it just doesn't seem like it doesn't get any better. And I said, yeah, but the Lord's providing, isn't it? And yes, the Lord's providing, but that deal still doesn't mean she isn't going through those same things. But you know, the Lord is providing that every single day, giving her that grace sufficient for the hour and for the moment. And though things are maybe not like she would have wanted them to be, we have no idea and we have no clue about why God suffers things to be and brings things about. We don't know all about that. But tonight you and I, like little children with simple childlike faith, can just say, our Father knows and He knows. And even with the songwriter say, it's well with my soul. All, it is well, it is well. Though this happens, though that happens, though we have high times and low times, it's well with my soul. And we can find peace, and we can find comfort, and we can find rest in the Lord. And here he was healing every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, and tonight, you know, there are many times I think about the crowds that gather. Some of God's little children are just so hungry, and they're faint and they're poor. They'll go far and do all kinds of things. They'll line up and do all kinds of things men are telling them to do to find peace. And they're hearing peace, peace, but there is no peace. And they're hearing what's wrong is right, and what's right is wrong. And if you go this direction, and they're giving them bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, and it's just such confusion. Tonight we simply come with the Word of God and base what it Now, base what we preach upon the Word of God, and we preach what it says. We don't say any more or any less than it says. We believe it to be the truth. Oh, if you can see that tonight, you are a blessed character. And when he saw that multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. That tells me he loves them. He loved them. And he loved them so much that he said, because they fainted. Why was he have compassion towards them? He saw them faint. And that's where you and I are without instruction. Tonight we come to help us not faint. Why do we need to hear preaching? Somebody said, why do I have to go hear preaching? Because you need instruction. You need to hear the Word of God so that you'll know how to live your life. You'll know what's important, what's not important. You won't buy into the lies of this world and the lies of the devil who tell you got to have this to be happy and you got to have that to be happy and you got to do this, you got to do that. And this whole, even so many of God's children, listen, the world's in a mess, but there's a lot of God's children in the orders of this world that are in the same mess because the world has entered into those orders, and rather than hearing the truth being preached, they're hearing everything but the truth. And the little lambs and the little sheep are being fed on really what goats eat. And it doesn't feed the little lambs and the sheep. Now, is Jesus interested in whether he's got sheep? Is he interested in whether they're fed? I believe absolutely that he is. I believe that's why he's given us the church. I believe that's why he's called men to preach. I believe that's why he's given us his word. You know how difficult it has been to keep his word in existence, and what we have in this volume that I hold before me, all the ones who have tried to destroy this book from the face of the earth, and they're still trying to discredit it over and over. And if they can get you to believe this Bible is really not the Bible, that's how they'll attack. Because if he can cut you off from the Word of God, or it doesn't really mean everything that it says, or you gotta weed through it to find the error from the falsehoods. Listen, we believe tonight one of our articles of faith is that the Word of God is the Word of God. It's the inerrant, inspired Word of God, and we believe what it says, and that which God has given us, He's kept to us, kept for us. And tonight as we read our King James Bibles, I believe we're sitting with the Word of God in our hands. And we can trust in what it says. And it says, and that's not because I trust in King James. It's because I trust in the Lord who preserves His Word. Listen, if I don't trust... Listen, I couldn't trust in Moses, even though Moses was a man faithful. We heard that preached today. We trust in one who made Moses. We trust in one who blessed Moses. We can't trust in the apostles. We say, why would you trust in what the apostles wrote? Because they were taught by the master teacher and was inspired of the Holy Spirit to pin these things down. We're not just, they were eyewitnesses of His majesty. The things we're reading tonight weren't just given by anybody and left to their memory to bring out. The Holy Spirit moved them, just like He did the Old Testament writers. He moved them to pin these things down. And then God has confirmed them with the signs that followed the apostles. We read about that through the Acts of the Apostles. And tonight you and I can sit down and say, this is the Bible. And a lot of people, you'll say, well, that's what the Bible says. They don't care. They don't care what the Bible says. It means nothing to them. I'm telling you, a little child of God that stops believing what the Bible says is going to be a fainting little child of God, a hurting little lamb and a little sheep. And they're going to be like sheep who have no shepherd. You and I need this Word, and we need, first of all, we have a great shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. We have a chief shepherd who's made all the under-shepherds. shepherds. I looked for the verse that talked about under shepherds. It's not here. I tried to find it. It wasn't in my, at least my Strong's didn't find it tonight when I looked it up. But the language about an under shepherd is there. We've been made overseers. What does that mean? That means I have a responsibility to feed little God's little lambs and God's little sheep with the Word of God. That's why as a minister, I don't have a right to come with my opinion or what my thoughts are about it. I am to preach the Word and be faithful to His Word. And when I do that, I will be a faithful under-shepherd. I will be one. And that's really taught over in 1 Peter chapter 5. And that language in 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Here Peter is talking about his apostleship and all that it meant to him. He's telling us as elders, or those who are ministers of the gospel, those who are called to that place by God, he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." Tonight that's what I'm trying to do to the very best of my ability. I pray that God would bless me with the ability to feed the flock. And he told Peter to do what? Feed my lambs and to feed my sheep. And so here he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof." That means I have a responsibility to be faithful to the Word of God. "And not by constraint." That means not because I'm forced into it, but willingly. God has called me to do it. He's put that duty upon me. But I ought to be doing it willingly. He says, "Not for filthy lucre." That means not for money. "But of a ready mind." That means I am to do this as God's calling has been given to me. And I'm not only to be concerned about God's little sheep that gather in this household, but as we go out into the community and around about, and I find one of God's little, one of the old Baptists back in the past in the state of Virginia the charge that was brought against him is that he went everywhere he went, he preached that heretical doctrine of baptism to everybody he met. They locked him up for that. Today we have no fear of that happening, and yet sometimes I stand silent when I ought to be. Listen, what we have tonight, I believe there are many of God's children in this community that could benefit from this truth. I believe there are many that have an ear to hear it and an eye to see it and a heart to understand it, that God has been giving it to them. And I believe it's a duty and a responsibility for us as a church to share the gospel to the extent that we shine as a city set on a hill. We are the salt of the earth, and salt doesn't help a bit when it's in the shelf with the door. You got to apply it, don't you? And light is something it's a city set on a hill. We don't put our light under a bushel. We're to let it shine. What does Jesus say? "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works." And he doesn't say and brag on yourself. It says others may see your good works and glorify your Father. See, God is pleased when you bring forth much fruit. He's pleased. And that doesn't mean we have any reason to boast. Listen, if you can believe tonight, it's because He gifted you the gift of faith. If you can love the Lord tonight, it's because He blessed you with love. If you can forgive your brethren, it's because He's given you a heart of forgiveness. If you've repented, it's because He's given you the wonderful grace of repentance. Everything you have and everything that you use, you wouldn't have it if God hadn't given it to you. But listen, if He gave it to us and we don't use it, have you ever not used the faith God has given you and walked in unbelief? Have you ever not used the love that God has given you and walked in something other than love? Have you ever been where you should have shown forgiveness, but rather than show forgiveness, you were hard-hearted? Listen, God's children throughout Scripture had done that, and they were always chastened and rebuked for it. We as God's little children tonight ought to encourage one another as much as we can, exhort one another daily to remember to treat one another like the Lord's treated us, to love one another like the Lord's loved us, to forgive one another like the Lord's forgiven us. And when we do those things, we shine forth as a city set on a hill, and that light goes out, and others of God's little children will be attracted. I'll tell you, when I saw the old Baptists, they attracted me. And I don't give them the praise and the glory for that. I saw that little bunch of old Baptists at Hawksbill Church in Luray loving one another and hugging one another. And I understood the doctrine to some extent, but I'd never seen any behaviors and actions like that. I saw what true love and fellowship was about. I thought they'd been strangers, hadn't seen each other for years. Come to find out that most of them were brothers and sisters. It's kind of like the way we leave Cracker Barrel. You know how peculiar we must look to folks in there when we do that every Sunday and everybody won't leave without hugging everybody or something like that. Somebody said, well, what does that mean? It means a lot to this world that don't know much about hugging and don't know much about what true love is. And I'm not talking about the lust of this world. It's full of that. That's all over the place. But the things that we hold most dear and cherish, many of God's little children would enjoy them and find them, but sometimes they simply don't know about them. Because we've taken our light, and to some degree, at time to time, we put it under a bushel where we ought to be more than willing. Listen, don't be afraid coming to tell someone you see that shows evidence of the work of God's grace in their life. You come and see. You come and listen. You don't have to say, come listen to Brother Gary. Listen to whoever brings the water that day. Listen to whoever's preaching. How many times have we had someone come to hear one brother and another brother get up and preach so ably they don't care whether they hear that brother or not? Because what they've heard is something from, it was the message, like Jesus' message. They heard His voice. They heard and felt His presence. They felt the touch of His gentle hand. They were able to lean on His everlasting arm. And they were able to sing, what a friend we have in having Jesus. And not what a great preacher they got. That would be a man honoring thing. Oh, listen. He said this, feed the flock of God. What do you feed them with? The gospel, the truth, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. It says, neither is being lords over God's heritage. You are God's heritage. That means you belong to Him. You are His inheritance. You're bought and paid for by Him. You belong to Him. And those others of God's little children, listen to me, they belong to Him as well. It's not just us in here that belong to Him. So which one of them should I walk by without sharing to some degree and in some way, the best I know how, to be an ambassador for Christ? That doesn't mean you go ram what we believe down someone's throat. You can't do that. But I'm saying it's kind of like when inquiring minds want to know. When you find someone asking, you be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you. That means don't hesitate to share, well, how good the Lord's been to you and how wonderful. Listen, to be able tonight to be settled and believing that my salvation, so many of God's children don't understand that their salvation is 100% in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not what they did to add to that, and there's nothing they can do to take from it, but they feel that there's something I've got to get, and because of that, they're not having peace. They're troubled. They're working themselves to death trying to get settled about it and sure about it. And even though they might openly profess that they know that they know that they know that they know, they're not really truly at peace. The only way that you can find true peace as a little child of God is to recognize that my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness, and there's nothing else that I can add to that, nor do I need to. And that's where my peace is. And that peace about heaven is also your peace for today and tomorrow and whatever you face. He says, and when the chief shepherd, that's what I love to talk about. Listen, under shepherds are accountable to the chief shepherd. We got a boss. We got a boss. You know, when you're at work and the boss comes around, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you don't have to change your behavior. But if you're not, you know, you use a straighten. I got to straighten up a few things because the boss just showed up. But I want you to know we don't have a boss that just happens to show up. He's always there. He's all the one that's most important. And if we're listening to that boss, you don't even have to worry about the other boss. You don't have to worry about what other men think or what other men do or what this one thinks or that one thinks. We heard that preached today. If we seek first to please Him, then all of these, He brings us to be at peace with all others. Now, some people won't like you for that, but the Lord take care of that too. He takes care of those things. Let me go back real quick, and I know our time is getting way past gone. He says, and when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad That's what sheep do when they don't have guidance. They get scattered. We come in and stop preaching the word. What's going to happen to our church if we stop preaching the word? We're going to become scattered. Well, we start adding something to it. What is that going to do? It's going to scatter the flock. That's why we're to be faithful to His word. We're scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And then saith He to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenty, but the laborers are few. I say to you today, don't we have that situation? Aren't the laborers few? Laborers are few. So what are we going to do? Somebody said, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, I know what the Lord said to do. That ought to be what we do. He said what? Pray ye. He didn't say go make some preachers. I'll tell you, you want to go make a mess? Go make some preachers, because you'll make a mess. If we go call them, then they'll preach their calling. And we want those that God calls. So we pray ye, therefore the Lord of the harvest. Oh, is He able? Absolutely. He's the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Whose harvest is it? It's His harvest. And He'll send laborers into His harvest. And that's the one we're looking to tonight, trusting in. May this church just continue to trust in Him. I do appreciate your kind attention. I know it's evening and it's easy for us to kind of fade away. Y'all have been y'all have labored hard to be attentive. I appreciate that, commend you for it. That's what disciples do. They have discipline. You've got to have some, you know, to be a good student, you got to work through some things. And I appreciate you tonight praying for me and listening, and continue to pray for me, please. And if it's been of any benefit, give the Lord the praise, and God bless you. You have a mind to pray, remember me.
Love you, my brother.
Well, I hope it was clear.
It was, and I want to thank you.